It's time for some news from our point of view. We'd even be glad if we could have a laugh or two. It's time for some news.
Welcome to Half-Cocked Science News, where we talk about recent scientific developments, scams, frauds, deceptions, and we'll end with some feel-good news. We're all about curiosity, integrity, and positivity, and we're thrilled to have you with us today. I'm Dan, the Worshiping Dionysus Man. Joined with me is my good friend Ron, the geologist apologist. How are you doing today, Ron?
Doing quite well, thank you.
All right. And the professor with the brilliant mind, who's also a snappy dresser. How are you doing today, Professor?
Doing great.
Well, we also will be joined later by my lovely wife, Jamie Lynn, the druidist, who's just so damn good at this. Today, we're going to be discussing fruit flies and the genetics of sleep. We'll be talking about diamonds on Mercury and a new way to fight childhood obesity. So let's dive in and explore those updates. A new study came out about fruit flies and sleep genetics that had some interesting findings. Apparently, the methods and paths of genetic sleep aren't that different in most species, including between us and fruit flies. We've all got an internal circadian clock, right? Regulates sleep and alertness based on the sun and day, night. And fruit flies and humans both sleep more at night and are more active during dawn and dusk. And they call that homeostatic regulation, need-based sleep, right? It balances how much sleep we need versus how much sleep we've had, right? That's homeostatic regulation. And some fruit fly species show a really strong rebound after sleep deprivation, like humans do. If we're deprived of sleep, like, we catch up and we rebound, but some of them don't. So they focused in and they hid a little robot to measure the sleep of these flies. So these flies had these little like robot things around them, like almost, in my head, they're little like robots with lab coats and clipboards, like checking their watch, right? And so they were actually able to differentiate between light and deep sleep in these flies.
That's crazy. How are they recognizing that?
Yeah. Does this a fly enter, REM sleep?
Right. Does their brain process that? That's crazy.
Do they dream?
Ooh.
Do they do that little twitch thing before they fall asleep?
Their little wings move when they're dreaming about flying.
So that's funny. So what the robots did was they would blow little puffs of air to wake them up.
Okay.
So how the like the little puff of air, like if they would like move like don't touch me, they would be a deeper sleep than if they like get up and like hop back. That's a lighter sleep, right? They did tests to establish the threshold data, to make sure they were identifying different sleep stages according to the study. So if they classified light sleep as a higher probability to respond to the air puffs and deep sleep as a lower probability, of response. So they found that in some species of flies that there are specific genes that are related to how the fly rebounds from lack of sleep. And if they reduce the activity of those genes, it changes the sleep patterns. Let me back up a second. There's one species of fruit fly that was different than the others, and it did not, like humans, have a good bounce back from lack of sleep, but they were able to change the genetic activity to get the sleep patterns to match the other fruit flies. So they're hoping that they can use this data to look at our sleep quality and duration and start to learn more about human sleep disorders and how they can fix those. Because if they can take a species of fruit fly that can't handle some sleep deprivation and make it able to handle it, I mean, we're on to something, because those systems mimic ours.
That is pretty genius. That's genius. Anytime we can get better sleep, get the circadian rhythms down. I just think it's funny that we discovered flies. That's crazy.
That they're doing it in flies. Well, insects give us multiple cycles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like life cycles,
right.
Like from birth to death to birth. You can
many generations to sample from, yeah.
Yeah, that genetic mutation would be easier to quantify.
Now, that's an interesting thought, is something like flies versus dogs, right? I guess we use mice in labs, but I'm like wondering, like, why didn't anybody start breeding mice or rodents or hamsters or gerbils like we did dogs? Like, oh, this gerbil seems smart. I'll separate it and have it breed with this gerbil.
Also, who had the brainiac idea? Like, what triggered you to say, flies?
I make super rodents.
Super rodents. What triggers somebody to think flies, I should study their sleep patterns? I didn't even know they really slept. Like, that's a bizarre thing to come to. I think they needed money for their study.
You are really betraying the fact that you are not a scientist.
Well, maybe just a little bit. I appreciate the science.
Right, right. Oftentimes, most scientists are doing really boring work to the layman. Like, it's numb. Like, you know how much data that these people had to sift through?
Yeah.
Right? How long it took them to set this up?
And did they go into it? I think this is I'd be interested to know if they went into it purposely looking for sleep patterns, or was it just a happy aside that they're like, wait a minute.
Oh, I mean, I definitely think it was the purpose of the study.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't think it would have been a random thing. I mean, they're designing robots to blow air into flies' faces.
That is so crazy. That sounds like some crazy cartoon.
And that's how you get pinky in the brain.
Right?
Right? Why didn't anybody breed a super mouse? That's what I want to know.
Be careful what you ask for. Maybe they did.
All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about Mercury, the planet. What do we know about it?
It's tiny and hot and inhospitable.
Wait.
Yeah, what she said.
Inhospitable to who? I'm sure the carbon life forms living there right now, monitoring our thoughts, disagree. Oh, no, wait. I'm supposed to leave the conspiracies in the back on the time machine.
Check those at the door, sir.
Yes, Mercury, very hot, very inhospitable. It's between Venus and the sun. It's the closest to the sun, right?
Yes. And when it's in retrograde, watch the fuck out.
Oh, when it's what does that mean? In retrograde means it's traveling away from the Earth or away from the sun?
It would appear that way because we're passing it. So like when you pass the car, it looks like it's going.
It looks like it's going backwards.
Okay. So it's like when you your two cars going opposite directions on a circular track.
Same direction.
So when Mercury's coming towards us, we're fine. But as soon as we pass. So literally they're like waiting until it's 180 degrees on the opposite side of the circle before it's in, what, if it's not in retrograde, it's what, grading? I don't know.
Well, it looks like it's moving forward when we're not in the middle of passing it. But when you're passing a car for a second, it looks like it's moving backwards.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still moving forwards. So when you're in retrograde, it's like when you're, when it appears for a second to be moving backwards.
Because we're both going the same direction. Uh-huh. We're not going opposite directions.
Right. We're passing them on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
I gotcha. Okay. Thank you for explaining that, because now I know when to be scared.
Amber's going to be so angry she missed this. She's going to listen to us talking about this and go, okay, guys, seriously.
So, back to the scientific paper.
Yeah, science. Sorry.
So there's a whole bunch of carbon on Mercury that likely the remnants of a primordial graphite flotation crust. Talking about plate tectonics last
week.
Ooh. Yeah, we're getting
my
sexy
next band
there.
Name.
Primordial graphite flotation crust. And these scientists did some thermodynamic models and high pressure temp experiments to reassess the carbon inside Mercury's interior under the crust. Hmm. And they found that if sulfur gets hot enough and dissolves in the molten interior of Mercury, mm-hmm. under the right conditions, it would turn the graphite into diamond.
Wow.
Ooh.
So they're saying there's a possibility that there's a diamond formation in Mercury's magma ocean. They said it's unlikely, but possible, and their models showed in some situations that would happen. It would crystallize from the cooling molten core during the formation of the solid inner core, forming a diamond layer between the core and the mantle.
Interesting.
Which would be insane.
Fascinating.
Mercury, and it's just like just underneath. You dig a little bit down and like you can't go any further because it's diamond.
Elon's filing the permit right now to strip mine it.
Yes. I was going to say, start the silver diamond rush all the way to the diamond rush to Mercury.
The space blood diamond.
And that actually makes that makes the most sense for his business model too, because we can now make them for so little energy, so little money. They're made out of literally carbon.
Right, they're quite common and worthless.
Yeah, but instead we need to go to space to secure those
to get
minerals
them. Yeah.
For the safety of humanity.
I've actually seen quite a lot of lab-grown diamond hate getting thrown around on Reddit. Like people are saying like it's not the engagement ring doesn't count if it's a lab-grown diamond.
Good Lord. Well, that's probably Elon's conspiracy people at work, you know, so that when he makes his diamond rush, you know, he's got real diamonds to give you.
Well, it's no conspiracy that the De Beers family cornered the diamond market and keeps the prices artificially inflated. Like, that's not a conspiracy. We know about that.
It's quite a common resource.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't paying social media influencers. That's what I should start doing for this show. Like, they'll say whatever you want if you pay them.
It's true.
Like, right. That's their job. Mm-hmm. They're just pitchmen, all of them. And not this one. I got to be bought by things I actually support. Otherwise, you'd all have coupon codes already, damn it.
Also, I'm pretty sure Ben Bova has written a book about Mercury and things to find on it. I don't remember what he found. I don't think it was diamonds, but Bova, he knew we're going to be mining asteroids, planets. He was on it.
Yep. And we'll have to get there. We'll have to start getting our minerals from asteroids and planets.
Possibly our water.
Wait, why do we need to get minerals from asteroids?
Well, eventually we'll run out of available minerals on Earth.
Well, what are we doing with them that makes them go away?
Hoarding them.
We're building things to expand and colonize.
So it seems like there'd be a good scrap industry.
Actually, I think that's kind of what Ben Bova wrote about, was a bunch of just getting raw materials, scrapping off of planet. I don't remember. I know water was a big thing.
Leaving the planet is just very expensive and honestly boring. All the good stuff is here.
Okay, I agree. And I don't think it'll happen in our lifetimes. But at some point, if we're going to explore the stars, we're going to have to start grabbing minerals from other places.
Yeah. Can't take it with you.
And finding exotic minerals we don't even know about yet.
Right.
Like what was it? An Avatar? Unobtainium.
Unobtainium.
We gotta find unobtainium.
But so it's not obtainable. It's in the name. I said we have to find it.
So don't tell me what I can't find. All right. Let's move on and talk about some bullshit. This is some real snake oil here.
Yes.
Oh, snake oil, on sale for me. Nothing but snake oil, and it ain't free.
The news story is that there are some Russian mobs and some of that infamous gang, MS-13. Basically, there are some criminal elements that they're clearly pointing their finger everywhere they can. We don't know. I don't know who started it, but everybody seems to be jumping in. And they are organizing bogus personal injury lawsuits where they get migrants to get surgery, like unneeded spinal fusion surgery. To bolster their claim of big accident at this business. Yeah, I fell down. I slipped and fell at Walmart, and it busted my back so bad I had to get this.
That's going the full. Oh my god. Yeah, that's all in.
In the mix of this, it's not just that one act. They've also got doctors in on it. Who, the ones that are doing the back and neck fusions, they're getting paid for the insurance companies, and they're overcharging and overbilling for these operations.
Jesus.
So like they're going in knowing that this is like a con dirty grip thing. Like they go in as cheap as they can, just fuse this thing and then do a full insurance filing and charging. So they're making money both ways.
Some pretty evil people.
Yeah, yeah. So apparently these settlements are often almost all over $1 million when they hit, obviously, when they hit the lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
So these kinds of scams, they rely on law firms that take on hundreds of these cases. And then those law firms will have their own doctors. So like imagine you just have this person come in and say, yeah, I had this injury at this place, and here's all my doctor stuff. And then they go to court, they fight it with their expert doctors who just look at the x-rays and the charts they've been handed. They might see the person, right? But so they're actually getting respectable doctors in court to argue for them.
Wow.
Yeah, a PI hired by the New York Post was quoted as saying they're regularly recruiting migrants and homeless people, and in some cases are proactively arranging for them to come to New York. So in some of these cases, they're like, "Let's smuggle you in, and we'll get you in an injury lawsuit."
We just have to remove one of your testicles, sir, and then we can go to court.
Right, right. And the people who get the surgery and pose as the injured, they get like $1,000. That's their share, like $1,000.
That's it, huh? Damn.
They say that their shares, you know, it's bigger, but it's shriveled on the high interest loans, and they needed to pay for the medical and legal expenses. So, yeah, they're just hiring migrants and homeless people, paying them $1,000 and pocketing the rest of the $1 million.
That stone cold evil shit there.
And it could be this supposition by the New York Post is that the Russian mob are running the lending firms that they're bringing the money, and they're working with MS-13 to bring in Hispanic migrants.
Wow.
And round up homeless people.
Yeah. So you got the human trafficking angle. Yeah. Damn.
And they're saying that it's been so successful. At this point, the fake falls are so successful for MS-13 that now rival gangs are noticing. And you know, in the gang world, it's not like people like, oh, you're MS-13 and I'm this gang. There's no way we would talk.
Right. Right.
There's no way we would hang out at a bar and have a drink every now and then. Right. They're all talking.
Word gets
like,
out.
It's right. It's a social microcosm, weird one. Not one I would run in, but yeah, they know what's happening. You get people who switch sides. You get plants like all. Don't they make a bunch of movies about all this stuff? Anyway,
exactly. We've seen that story.
So according to gang expert Lou Savelli, the MS-13 people, like, they're not in on white collar crime. But with the help of the Russians who got the lawyers, like, they pull it off. Their investigators found
right. MS-13's got the bodies. The Russian mob's got the
brains. Right.
Yep.
NYPD found one integrated Russian-led operation with doctors, lawyers, lenders, and physical therapists all in the same office building.
Oh my God.
That's precious. One stop, man. Wow.
Authorities were unable to build a case against that group.
Sure.
Really?
They had good lawyers.
How weird is that? Yeah. So this is getting like bigger and bigger and bigger. They train them how to act, to stage the accidents. Yeah, it's and they're told to get their lawyer before their doctor.
If we want to stop this, I think we need to take down OSHA.
A guy named Rigo Foss, general counsel for Andromeda Advantage Incorporated of Long Island City, we've identified 59 cases as fraudulent
already, and you know that's just the tip of the iceberg,
right? And I'll have a link to the New York Post story, and it's got some fun pictures of some of these x-rays and a lot more investigation, which just goes to show that, like, scamming knows no bounds.
None.
Scamming knows no bounds. And this is horrible because I was injured in an accident. I had to go to court to fight the insurance company. Like, it's right. Awful that people are abusing that system.
Right.
That some people have to go through.
Some people
for
require
their legitimate
it, yeah.
claims.
Yep.
It is pretty crappy.
Right. Ugh. It's always the scammers messing it up for everybody else.
Ugly, ugly, ugly.
All right. Let's talk about some feel good news.
A call for a sip. Maybe even a hit. And join us for half.
Okay, so staying on the theme of sleep, I know we were talking earlier about the fruit flies. A new recent study has linked childhood obesity to sleep, to kids' sleep mechanisms. So childhood obesity, obviously, big global health issue in countries with food. Obviously, it's very strange to live in a world where where we've got childhood obesity and then, like, other countries where children are starving.
Yeah, that's a horrible situation.
But the issue of childhood obesity is a real issue, and it turns out it's influenced by genetic predispositions as well as environmental factors like sleep, diet, physical activity, and even socioeconomic status. Sleep itself, as we know, it's critical for life everywhere, even fruit flies. But it's also crucial for a child's health. It affects their physical, mental, and emotional development. The CDC recommends 9 to 12 hours of sleep for school-age kids.
Wow.
And they're finding insufficient sleep can lead to unhealthy weight gain because it messes with hormones. And it also causes something called DNA methylation, which long-term marijuana use causes as well. I did not know
that. That's where I've heard that term.
Kids not getting enough sleep, it actually, you know, makes part of the gene a little blurry, and it starts to mess with their metabolism and circadian rhythms.
Interesting.
It also messes with the non-coding RNAs that go along with the DNA. So what they're finding is that if kids can have healthy sleep habits, that then they can avoid the DNA methylation patterns and something called histone modifications, which impacts gene expression and your metabolism, as well as the non-coding RNAs, which regulate sleep and obesity. They're finding that just giving the kid enough sleep is impacting in childhood obesity.
Wow. Just sleep.
Wow.
Just sleep.
That's cool.
So that was something I always wondered about when I was in school, because I was even then an early riser, right? Like I would get up before everybody else naturally. But it seemed to me like nobody was trying to stay up all night and sleep all day. That's just when their clocks were running. Like I never made sense that
right.
We still follow this farmer clock as a society. We're all still stuck on like we're working agriculture. Like, oh, right. Gotta get up now. Gotta right. get to work.
Exactly. You know, my personal clock is, you know, I would love to go to sleep at 2 a.m. and wake up at 10 a.m. the next morning. That's what my clock wants to do. But that doesn't fit in with most jobs.
Nope.
No.
Plus, it's really damaging for kids, because for how many years, I don't know if it's changed now, but we got up at the crack of dawn to get to school, like 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning. And that's some peak sleeping time for kids right there.
What this study that came out is showing is that's actually hurting kids on a genetic level.
Wow.
Well,
yeah. There's a simple fix, kids, but they'll never do it. Now that's a clickbait. Okay, I know the clickbait title for this article. One simple fix to cure childhood obesity that they'll never do.
It will not happen.
But they'll never do it.
Yeah, let's have school start at noon.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
You know what? I bet parents would get behind that too. Like
probably.
Yeah.
Especially ones that have to go to work at 9.
Yeah. And have you heard how many parents that bitch complain about their kids not being able to get out of bed? They're sleepy. It's hard getting a kid out of bed. I hated it.
That's a strange thing, strange way that we as society are forced to treat sleep. Like you have to be really wealthy to be able to be sleep rich and go to bed on when your body tells you to, wake up when your body tells you to.
Right. And if you do that, you're also branded as lazy,
right?
Yeah.
Yet it's the healthiest thing you could do for your rest, right? And it impacts so much of your health everywhere else. It
really does.
All right. So get enough sleep. Hope that's some feel good news for you. All right. Thanks everybody for joining us on this journey today. We hope you had a good time. Maybe you learned a thing or two. I know I did. We encourage you to reach out to us at halfcocktails@gmail.com. That's TALES. Maybe you want to send us a text or voice message to 443-499-8253, or even just drop a comment on our TikTok, Facebook, or Instagram. If you're in a giving mood, you can find us on Patreon or visit halfcocktails.com/shop. We also will have a little bit of a deeper dive for these stories over on the Half Cocktails website. We can find not only this, but some fun history as well. Until next time, keep your mind set to science.
Now things are ending, it's time to go. No more to get through, thanks for listening, that's our show. Ain't affectation, we're just leaving you half-cocked. We had a good time talking today, but even best times, eventually they fade away. Ain't adjuration, we're just leaving half-cocked.